Corinthians 13. We were last week. We are again this week. We'll read the entire chapter together. And hopefully, we've been talking about faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13 is our key text. And depending on how today goes, this may be the last message in the series. So why don't you stand with me, please, as we look into God's word. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we would know this passage, that we would know love because we know you. And Lord, I pray today that this message will make sense to the hearer, that you would use me in a way that is uncommon, that people would recognize that it's not just Stan Griffin speaking, it's the Holy Spirit ministering to folks. I pray that I would decrease and that you would increase. Use this time, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Faith and hope are wonderful things. Verse, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And obviously the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said that because God was telling him, and I'm sure that he recognized from his own life, that you can have all kinds of things. You can have all the faith in the world. You can have all the hope in the world. But those things without love, the Bible says it profits nothing. I mentioned last Sunday, and I'll say again, I'm an observer of people. You are too. Don't look at me like, oh, how could you be watching folks like that or doing those things? You and I just naturally notice things. We notice if a car is washed or unwashed. We notice if someone is well-appearing or unkempt. We just notice things. And the list could go on. You notice homes. You notice families. You notice some kids that are just look like they're glad to be in church, and you notice some kids that their parents' hands are around their throat trying to keep them in control. You know, you just notice those things. Well, I've noticed some things about homes, and I've noticed that families without joy, without love, have a miserable home. And they can have all the money, they can have all the structure, they can have all the hope and faith, they can quote the Bible, they can stomp and snort, if you will, about right and wrong. But I'll tell you what, if there's no love in the home, there's no joy in the home, and those kids do not want to follow mom and dad, and they can't wait until they get out of there, and we wonder why our kids don't follow in our faith. Well, the reason why they don't follow in our faith, not in every case, but in some of the cases, because faith was exhibited without love, and it didn't work. And I'm telling you, a loveless home is a joyless home. Our text in 1 Corinthians 13 talks about some things, and there are some positives, and there are some negatives. The negatives are started right out. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. No, I have the gift of prophecy. Which every preacher wants the gift of prophecy. And understand all mysteries. One of the great problems in counseling is you will come to someone like myself or a paid counselor, and some of the things you say to us, we don't understand. Every man that's ever talked to a woman has been confused at some point in his life, okay? We don't understand everything, okay? Though I can understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, know everything. Now, we all hate a know-it-all, but you understand things and you know things. You could be a source to go to. Though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. And I can remember preaching this passage years ago, hoping someday we'd have a building that we could all meet in. And I said, if I had faith enough so I could just believe God and out of the parking lot would raise up this building. God said, if you have faith, you could move a mountain. And I thought, well, how great would it be that I could just pray in a new building? Well, obviously, God gave us this. And it did work that way, but not in that unbelievable earth-shaking moment that this week it's here and last week it wasn't. Took 2 years. Took forever. But if I could do that, all faith, I could move mountains and have not charity. No, I bestow all my goods. Let's say you're Donald Trump. How great would that be? Let's just say you're Bill Gates. You fill in the blank. Maybe you're Al Roberts. And you're just so well healed. You'd be all your goods to feed the poor. And though you gave your body to be burned at the stake is really what it's talking about, gave yourself as a sacrifice. And you did it without love, you got zilch. You got nothing. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but those are shocking statements. I don't think we recognize, as Christians today, the importance of love. Say that with me. The importance of love. It's critical. So those were all the things that if you had it without love, then it goes on. Those were the negatives. Now this is a positive, and it describes how love is. And before we go too far, I want you to know that the greatest problem in America today isn't the lack of the word love, it's the lack of the knowledge of love. 1 John 4:7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Here's the deal. You've seen the bumper sticker where it says, "Know God, K-N-O-W, know peace, K-N-O-W. Know God, have the knowledge of God, you'll have the knowledge of peace. But if you don't know God, then there is N-O God, no God, and there is N-O peace, no peace. So you can have a knowledge of God and have a knowledge of peace, which we believe that. Or if you don't have a knowledge of God, you're going to have no God and no peace. I think that same statement can be said of love. If you know God, K-N-O-W, you will know love. But the world today, as we kick God out of society and close his book and tell him, get away from me, let's separate church and state and all of the separation. No, what they could care less about separation. They are trying to kill God. It's got nothing to do with departmentalizing God. There is no department they want God in. And in their wisdom to expel God from society, we are expelling true love from society. And we don't know what love is. And so you're going to hear a message on love this morning. It's going to be a little different than what you expected. But I want to point out some things about love, the positive, what love acts like. Charity is long-suffering. It's patient. It's kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It's patient, kind, doesn't envy. I'll tell you, envy is a disease in America today. If you've got more than they've got, we've got a wonderful man named Bernie Sanders that wants to take from you and give it to the guy that doesn't do anything. This isn't a political message, but that's the philosophy. And they don't recognize what's going on there. That is envy. Tell you what, when you hear someone gets a promotion or a brand new Ford vehicle, which would be the greatest thing that could happen, you know, any of those things, I'll tell you what, you ought to celebrate that they're having a good day. It'd be even greater if they could get a new Ford vehicle without one of those thick, thick, thick payment books. But anyway, you ought to celebrate that things are going well for them. We ought to rejoice when someone has something good happen to them. That's love. There's no envy in love. But I'll tell you what, there's envy in America, and that ought to scare you. It's patient, willing to wait. I grew up in a family of five with one bathroom. Nowadays, it bugged me. Mom and Dad are here somewhere. I saw them once. As soon as we all left home, they put in two or three more bathrooms. What's that about? Huh? Why couldn't you have done that? Problem is, they couldn't do it when we were there. They were broke. But now, you know, it's funny how the finances get better when all the kids leave. I'm kind of looking forward to that, but I don't know if I'm going to live long enough. Patient. It's kind. Word for kind here is others. Others. Doesn't envy. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That's called self-promotion. Have you heard the term selfie? Everything is all about my status on my page, or how many people have seen this, or how many tweets get retweeted. And in the society that we're in today, it's all about who sees me and how do I look. Breaking the internet is one of the terms. Really? Self-promotion has no place with God's people. Don't you miss that. And if you're so concerned about who's looking at your Facebook page and how kind of attention you are getting, maybe you need to close out your Facebook page and stop it. Because that is not what God put you here for. My Bible says that we're supposed to lose ourselves for Christ, not get all kinds of attention for ourselves. This self-promotion thing makes me sick. It needs to stop. Because that's not what God called us to. We're to lose ourselves. Does not envy, does not vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The look at me, the reality TV, the blowing your own horn. Proverbs 27, 1 to 2 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Let another man praise thee. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And we're going to spend some time on that. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It does not delight in sin. Love welcomes truth. Love does not avoid truth to protect someone else. Sometimes hard things need to be said. Hard things need to be said. Say that with me. Hard things need to be said. Love doesn't allow the kids to play in the road because it'll hurt their feelings if they can't. I know that sounds ridiculous. On our driveway, Emily went out halfway to the road and she put a spray painted the white line. If you come to our house, you see the white line is starting to fade and then there's a little frowny face. If you cross the line, you're going to frown. Why? Because you can't go towards the road. You can only get so close. We got a three-year-old boy that can cry like there's no tomorrow if he's not getting his way. And, you know, and me as a loving father, I just, what's wrong with Cody? What's he need? What's he want? I want him to have whatever he wants. I want him to be happy. I'm the grandfather raising a son is what I am, okay? We had another family over this week, and they were there, and I came home for lunch, and it was just so they were there, and one of the little kids asked his mom if he could have another cookie. Well, we got a pile of cookies on the counter. I'm thinking, of course, and Mama said no, and I looked at him. What? Wait, he can have a cookie? I mean, it isn't like he can have a cookie. Well, he's already had one. I'm thinking, one? And she said, you wouldn't let your son have one? I said, well, yeah, probably I would, you know, because I'm the grandfather raising the kid here, and I leave. That's Emily's problem, you know? But the reality of it is, that's not love, folks. That's spoiling the kid. That's not love. Love does what is best for the child, whether they like it or not. Every now and then, I look at him, and I say, you know what, pal? You're going to need to get over it. And he doesn't get over it very good. And, of course, those kinds of words really help him to get over it. Every now and then, God needs to look at us, and the things that we want, we think we want to have as Christians, and we pray for it. The Bible says you have not, you ask not, but then when you do ask, you just want it, you're just trying to consume it for your own lusts. And Christians, sometimes what we want is not the best, and our Heavenly Father knows it, and guess what? He loves you, and He wants the best for you. And sometimes in the best for you, He's saying, no, you can't have that. Those are tough things to swallow because in society today, we think that love, a godless love, is promiscuous. A godless love is promiscuous. It lets you have anything you want because we love you. Well, folks, that's not biblical love. It's not how love is. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I want to stop right there and let you know that you are being lied to by the world. The world wants you to think that that God in heaven that's up there, that big mean guy, that jealous, vengeful God. You know what? Satan's all for you believing in God. He just doesn't want you to read the book that talks about God. So that way you can come up with your own idea of who God is. And Satan wants you to follow that own idea of who God is. Whatever you think, you just go ahead and believe in God. Many times you talk to a lost person that doesn't know Christ. And you'll talk to them about heaven and hell and salvation and forgiveness of sins. And they'll say, oh, that's okay, preacher. You have your idea. But me and God, we have an understanding. Mark touched on that in Sunday school this morning. We have an understanding, and that's the God that Satan wants you to have an understanding with, because that's not God. God wrote the rules. He loves you. He showed how much He loves you by giving His Son. He held nothing good back from you, but I'll tell you what, if you want to appreciate and experience the love that God has, you're going to obey the rules that God sets up, or in God's house, there's no blessing. In our house, you either do what you're told, and you are blessed for it, or you don't do what you're told, and you're not blessed for it. Poor Cody's getting beat up on this morning, but he don't drink milk. He don't like milk. He just made up his mind he doesn't want milk. 5 o'clock at night, supper time. We got more milk than, we got milk. My parents buy us milk, and they bring it to us, and we're drinking milk in the morning, milk at night, milk in the middle of the night. So we're thinking, Cody needs to drink more milk. And so, I don't like milk. Have you tried it? I don't like milk. I don't like milk. So Emily says, okay, I'll get you just, she gets out this eyedropper medicine thing, little tiny thing. She says, all you have to do is this much. No. Try squirting his mouth. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I said to him, if he's going to need to drink his milk, I guess he needs to go to bed. Cruel father. So, take him down the hall, head into his bedroom. Ah, I'll drink my milk, I'll drink my milk. Okay, fine. Bring him back, set him in his chair. Eyedropper again. Blah. You said you'd drink it. I don't want it. Head down the hall. I'll drink my milk. We did this 3 times. Finally, I said, if he doesn't do it the 3rd time, now he's not drinking his milk. He's lying. He's got a problem. He went to bed early that night. He didn't get blessed, is my point. You're not going to keep the rules. You lie to us. You're not going to get the love of the parents. Now, I'll tell you something. God sent His Word. He sent His Son. He loves you. Romans chapter 1. Go over there, please. Romans chapter 1. He laid down some rules. And He wants you to know that if you follow Him, He'll bless you. And if you don't, there's consequences. At 6 years old, we asked Phil what he'd like to have. And he said, a life without consequences. At 6 years old, I thought, wow, that kid gets it. Well, you know what? We don't live a life without consequences. God loves you. There is a portion here in Romans chapter 1 where God talks about what the world is selling. And in verse number 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. The group of society of the world looked out and said, yeah, I know God. I know who he is, but I'm not interested. And so they shut God out and neither were thankful. Does that describe America today? We are the most thankless, pathetic. One of the greatest indictments that we can have is if you don't grow your kids to be thankful, you are raising a terror to society. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Boy, we see an awful lot of foolishness going around. I tell you something, if you say you're a Christian, there ought to be a time when you can talk about asking for forgiveness. Because it's crazy to think otherwise. Verse 23, and change the glory of God into an uncorruptible God, into an image make like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They turn to idolatry. See, we want to worship something. So rather than worship the true God, they turn to idolatry in verse 23. Wherefore God also gave them up. He said, okay, if you want to do that, then fine, you're on your own. And he let them go. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator is blessed forever. Amen. And that's where we're at today. We are worshiping the creation more than the Creator. Whales, the human body, stuff, things. What's the message on? Love. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. I'll tell you where America is today. We are rejoicing in our sin. We no longer are embarrassed by our wrong choices. We brag about them. Jeremiah talks about it in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Nothing bothered them anymore. Christian, don't ever stop being shocked by society. Do not lose your ability to blush. Do not be comfortable with what the world is doing and become okay with it and say, well, I guess that's just where we are in society today. Maybe the world is, but Christians are not. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What are you in love with this morning? If it's your stuff, it's your things, your TV, your computer, your internet, all of the things, the world systems that they have to offer, if that's what you live for, I got a challenge for you. Live without your computer for a week. I wonder if you can. Live without your TV for a week. Some of the stuff that the world is how much, where's the equation? How much of God's thing versus how much of the world's thing in your regular life? What are you in love with? See, that's where the trouble is. Satan is so subtle in Genesis chapter 3. Now, Satan, the serpent, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And what he does is he's so good at slowly letting the world creep into you through innocent things. What's wrong with a computer? Nothing in and of itself. But I'll tell you what, you'll find that some of those things that the world has brought into your life, you're having a hard time getting away from them. They've got their claws in you. Can you walk by your computer not checking your email? Can you, you know, I came up in a generation that we took typing class in school because there was typewriters. You know, now here we are. I'm only 54 years old, folks. I lived a lot of my life without a computer. I wonder if we still could. I'm just saying, what are we getting addicted to? What are we in love with? Worshiping the creation, the creature, more than the Creator. For this, God gave them up again. He gave them up in verse 24. Then he gave them up in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their own women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. What's that talking about? Homosexuality. I know this stuff isn't popular. You are being lied to by the world. The world says love is whatever you want to make it. You want to, oh, you see a guy, ladies, and oh, he looks so nice, and he is so nice. Let's move in together first and see how it works. It won't. Ladies, men are pigs. If they get for free what there should be a commitment for, they'll never pay for it. That's a fact. And it works the other way as well. You're being lied. You know, 40% of Americans today feel like marriage is outdated. 40% of Americans feel like marriage is outdated. 57% of evangelical Christians tell you there's another way to get to heaven other than Jesus Christ, that Jesus is not the only way. Folks, those are scary numbers. 57% of evangelicals ought to know better than say there's some other way than Jesus Christ. What am I talking about? I'm saying that we are being lied to, and gullibly we're taking it in, and we're getting a picture of a God that loves us that is not true of God because we've gotten away from the book, and there's no chance you'll understand love without knowing God personally. And then for someone to come along and say, no, you can do whatever you want because God loves you and he'll understand. No, he won't understand. You're breaking his heart. He can't understand how he gave you a life, the joyful Christian life, the wonderful life. I want you to know that we're out of time this morning, but I am living the Christian life, and it is awesome. It is awesome. And I'm not saying that because I just get paid to say that. I'm telling you, I've experienced life with Jesus Christ. I've got a God in heaven that's watching over me, controlling my life, watching over my family. He says that he'll bless me. I read this week that someone said, if you shoot for heaven, you'll get the earth thrown in. But if you shoot for the earth, you get neither. Boy, isn't that the truth. What are you in love with this morning? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Let me encourage you this morning, as we come to a close. The only life that works is a life with God Almighty. And you get to know God by getting to know his book. You do not believe the lies that the world is telling you. They will end in death. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Heavenly Father, time goes by so quickly. And I didn't get through everything that I wanted to say. And I know when you talk separation from the world, the enemy hates this message. And I know that I have offended people here this morning. Folks want to do what they want to do, and they don't want someone to tell them how it has to be. I understand that. It's human nature. They're normal if they feel that way. But God in his love and mercy came to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, you have exemplified true love. There is no question that love can be seen on display by you and certainly not by the world. Lord, sex before marriage never works. A homosexual lifestyle is not a lifestyle, it's a death style. They live 10 to 15 years shorter than their peers that don't go in that direction. Satan is lying. The world is lying. There's no joy in that, just horror, anguish. God, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're just begging for souls, for a people to not leave God, but to turn to you and believe in you and experience the love that only you provide. It's nowhere else. It can't be found anywhere else. And for someone that's encouraging them to go in a different direction, Lord, they're being lied to. They do not love them. Lord, you know my heart. It'd be so much more fun, so much easier just to go along and get along. God, is a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, someone that will have to stand before you and give an account. God, I love these people. I want the best for them. And that can only be with you.